As the world around us increases in technological complexity, our understanding of it diminishes. As we have more accessibility to information, we are lost in a sea of data, too overwhelmed to act. This state of paradox gave rise to the book New Dark Age, in which artist and writer James Bridle surveys the history of art, technology, and information systems from a fascinating perspective. Trained in computing, Bridle still believes that technology is full of possibilities. It's just, he says, that most of us have either lost control over it or never had it in the first place. From financial systems to shopping algorithms, artificial intelligence to state secrecy, we no longer understand how our world is governed or presented to us. So, how do we access this proactive space of experimentation and possibility, online and in real life? The title of Bridle's book is, of course, a reference to the Old Dark Age, a term applied in retrospect to medieval times by the 14th century Italian scholar Francesco Petrarch. Petrarch believed that ancient Greek and Roman cultures were highly advanced, but the medieval period regressed as a result of religion and superstition, leading to a period of stagnation. Petrarch's idea was very influential, though highly generalized, condescending, and totally subjective. Bridle offers his definition of what a new dark age is, more inspired by the words of the early 20th century English author Virginia Woolf.
A new dark age is not a thing in which nothing happens. It's not a time in which things are not possible. Virginia Woolf wrote in her diary in the early 1920s that she felt we were entering a dark age, and she thought that might be a good thing, because the darkness was a good place to think. That doesn't need to be a frightening place. It can be a place of extraordinary possibility.
Bridle explains what he means by this.
I read an article by someone who runs the American Weather Corporation, which is one of the largest US-based weather forecasters in the world, and one that pioneered the use of vast amounts of data to feed ever more powerful computer programs in order to be able to predict the weather. But what's increasingly apparent is that our ability to predict the weather is starting to falter. Climate change. And the increased instability of the planet means that our models aren't working as well anymore. And we're getting more and more freak weather events.
As a result, says
Bridle,
all our long-term forecasting is getting worse.
All of our long-term forecasting and so much of our technologized society is entirely dependent upon our attempt to predict the future in various ways, whether that's moving goods around, sowing and reaping crops, any of these things. The ability to predict the future is something that we've based contemporary society entirely upon. The end of the future means we're not going to be able to think so much.
While life becomes less predictable, information overload blocks us. Take surveillance and climate change, big issues that we know all about, but that no one is acting on, says Bridle.
Climate change has poisoned our ability to have nice conversations about the weather. We actively reject thinking about it. Maybe the darkness is a response to that. Nothing is gained by knowing all of these facts. We have to be aware of something else that's off kilter in our very way of thinking about the world. And it's in that sense that I've invoked this idea of unknowing, of a willful rejection of that form of Western empirical knowing.
One effect of this has been a rise in alternative ways of thinking. In recent years, there has been a notable rise in mysticism. Bridle sees it as a productive attempt to reassert agency over things that we don't understand.
How do we live amongst vast and dangerous systems that we don't understand? Because the whole idea was that we were taming everything and we were making it all safe and good. And now we're inviting things into our homes and into our pockets that we don't understand and that may contain all kinds of strange dangers. We need some way of balancing that. And so mystical practices have always been a way of asserting
And given our
agency,
lack of productivity
really
on climate change, we should resist
it.
Trying to give scientific reasons for observations that we assume are superstitious. Take the viewpoint of certain First Nations people, for example.
Certain First Nations people, they've been saying that the Earth is off its axis because the sun is setting in a different place. The land has changed to a radical degree, that something is afoot on the planet, and this is how they rendered it. I think it's really essential to resist going like, oh, but they mean this when we say it in scientific terms. To actually engage with this stuff thoughtfully and critically, it's really necessary to hold both those ways of talking about what's happening with equal value, because it's quite clear from our inability to act on climate change
if
that
we
our
can't
dominant
too
ways
far
of talking
ahead
about
into
it
the
are
future.
Radically insufficient.
How we behave right now is everything, says Bridle. That is why a more democratized approach to technology and our understanding of it is required.
We see the ways in which the technologies we're dependent upon, the ways in which they've been developed. So whether they've been developed originally as military systems and brought into civilian life, whether they've been developed as industrial corporate systems, what are logics that put this particular configuration of technologies in place? And given that we're not going to step back from making stuff, do we make stuff in ways that is at least not the way we've been doing it thus far? How do we open up wider participation, freeing up more and more people's agency to be part of that process?